shame, shame on you. Gave my heart as a token, when returned it was broken. Hide your face, shame on you. Shame, shame on you. Shame, shame on you. Took my car and my money, done me wrong and that ain't funny. Woe is me, shame on you.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. And on today's episode, I am joined once again by host of the Rock and Roll Geek Show, Michael Butler, for another round of No Shame. Alright, so I'm welcoming a very special guest back to the podcast. I don't know if you remember, Michael, but you were on the show once before.
Was I?
Yeah. So what we do on the No Shame episodes is we talk about songs that most people would call, I guess, guilty pleasure, even though I don't believe in that term because I don't understand why you would feel guilty about liking a song. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think you probably agree. I mean, I'm sure you're not embarrassed to say you like anything you like, right?
Well, yeah, it's not that I feel, well, we feel guilty. I would be embarrassed for my quote, cool music friends to know that I like this song. But I'm not really embarrassed. I don't care.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't matter. A good song is a good song, whether it's done by a respected artist or not a respected artist. There's no denying a good song, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And I know from being a longtime listener to your show, I know that you lean towards pop songs and catchy melodies and
more hard rock, but at the root of the hard rock songs is a great pop tune.
Right, exactly. So on these No Shame episodes, we just go through a list of songs that maybe most rock fans or hard rock fans would be embarrassed to admit to liking if they did even like them, or would maybe make fun of us for liking. So that's sort of the concept here.
Exactly. And now, so, I guess that most people would do the obvious and say ABBA, Dancing Queen, or something like that, because that still has some cachet amongst hard rock music fans. Say, yeah, it's okay to like someone like ABBA, so they'll pull that out as a guilty pleasure or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would never. I love a lot of ABBA songs, and I mean, they have some horrible songs as well. But I would never be embarrassed to like an ABBA song because they have a lot of really amazing songs, in my opinion. So, but some of the songs on my list today, people might say, yeah, that's not that embarrassing, or that's, I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, I'm gonna guess maybe four of mine, people would say you're an idiot for liking that tune.
Yeah.
But other than that, some of these will probably, people will say, oh, well, why is that a guilty pleasure? That's a great tune. So
what I've learned over the course of doing a few of these episodes is I can't really predict what people are going to be surprised by, because probably the biggest reactions I've gotten for songs was for Forever in Blue Jeans, and then for the Bryan Adams song, Everything I Do It For You. Those are probably the two that got the most negative reaction, and right. I didn't expect that, so I don't really know how it goes. So that's kind of the way I went with my list today, was we'll just see. We'll just see how it goes. But so do you want to start, or should I start?
It's funny you say that Bryan Adams, because Bryan Adams is on my list.
Well, yeah, well, I heard your episode about his new album, so obviously I know that I'm a big Bryan Adams fan, too. I mean, I think he has a lot of great songs, but
exactly. So it's kind of, well, you picked Everything I Do For You because it's a sappy ballad.
I figured that would be the more embarrassing one. Yeah.
Well, I'll start it off with the Bryan Adams. And this is a duet that Bryan Adams did with Mel C from the Spice Girls. You know this?
Yeah, you played this on your episode, right?
Yes, I probably did, yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great tune. It's actually one of Bryan Adams' best songs, lyrically and melodically, in my opinion. And I happen to be a fan of Mel C, who is Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls. She's my favorite Spice Girl.
Okay.
I like the song. I think it's a very catchy song. It is called When You're Gone.
Yeah, I had never heard the song until you played it on your show, and it's almost like a country-ish song, right? I was kind of surprised by that. It had kind of it's not a country song, but it kind of went in that direction.
Yeah, the vocal phrasings are probably in that, could be country. It's kind of like vocal phrasing like country artists do, which, by the way, I got a few country songs on my guilty pleasure list, too, but we'll save that for later.
All right. Right, so I'll kick off my list with a song by Chris Isaak. This song was on his third album, Heart-Shaped World, but it wasn't a hit until it was in the David Lynch film Wild at Heart. It's a song called Wicked Game.
No, boy, you like that song?
There you go. Now, what really, when I was researching about this song, what I had no idea that the guy who plays the lead guitar licks on the song is James Wilsey, who was the bass player in the Avengers, your hometown punk band. You know the Avengers, the Penelope Houston?
Yes, I do. Well, Chris Isaak is also a hometown guy. He actually
is
from my neighborhood, which is the Outer Sunset, believe it or not. I don't think he lives here anymore, but he used to surf right down the street from here.
Right, yeah, right. He even has an album called San Francisco Sessions or something, right? I didn't think of that. But yeah, so the guy playing all the cool guitar licks on this song was the bass player in the Avengers, which I had no idea. No, I don't wanna fall in love. No, thank you.
my wife's friend was a country singer songwriter, or kind of country rock singer songwriter in San Francisco, and Chris Isaak brought her to his house to write songs, and she thought that he wanted to have sex with her. So when so she made a pass at him, and she's not good looking. No offense to this girl, but she's not. She started trying to make out with him, and he goes, "I'll be right back." And I think maybe he came to her house. He goes, "I'll be right back," and he disappeared. He took off. She could have written songs with Chris Isaak and possibly made a music career with it for herself, at least gotten some royalties, but she blew it because she wanted to get laid.
Well, there you go. That's a great Chris Isaak story.
No, I want to fall in love.
So that's my first song, Wicked Game. What do you have next on your list?
Okay, the song that I'm just going to pick now is actually from one of my favorite bands, but most people consider this band a one-hit wonder because of this song. The band is called The Divinyls. The late, great Chrissy Amphlett, who was the most original rock and roll singer of all time, at least the most original female rock and roll singer of all time, and was fearless. This song, most people thought they were a one-hit wonder because of "I Touch Myself," which is my guilty pleasure. But I don't feel guilty about liking "I Touch Myself," because not only is this a great song, this album is great too, as are every Divinyls album. So I'm in love with Chrissy Amphlett, so she can do no wrong. But I love this tune. So is that considered? You gonna make fun of me for liking this song, "I Touch Myself"?
Yeah, I love a lot of Divinyls songs, but I do not like that song. I think that's a great pick. Yeah, that was what, their fourth album?
That was their self-titled, which is their
fourth or fifth record. Which people, like you said, people don't realize that. Most people probably just think that was their first and only record or something. But
come on, look at that music video. She's ironing clothes, wearing lingerie, looking smoking hot. Super catchy, super catchy. This song is great. If anybody doesn't like it, they're just wrong.
Yeah, they're one of those bands that started out practically as a punk band, which people would have no idea who just associate them with that song, you know. But
guitar player, way underrated, Mark McEntee, one of the great rock guitar players of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, they were a killer band. But I would have to say I don't really like that song, personally.
Okay. Listen, and you're wrong.
Maybe your wife's friend should have just followed that song's lead instead of, you know, what ended up doing with Chris Isaak.
That is huge comedy. That's why we love your podcast.
All right, so that's a good one. My next song, you know, this is one I'm not sure how embarrassing it is, but there's a great story behind this song. It was actually written and performed by John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, who most people would probably think they're from New Jersey, but they were from Rhode Island, and it was a top 10 hit, but, you know, the song was released as an Eddie and the Cruisers song.
Yeah, The Dark Side, right?
Yeah, on The Dark Side. Actually, some of the songs on that soundtrack, John Cafferty, they actually had written and recorded before they even got the gig to do the soundtrack. But I know the director of the film specifically wanted a song that sounded like a Springsteen song. Yeah. And I think this song, I think, was written for the soundtrack. And I strongly suspect that John Cafferty approached writing this song as if he was trying to write a Bruce Springsteen song, because that's what the director wanted.
Yeah.
where it gets interesting is there's a Springsteen demo from the late 70s called Preacher's Daughter that contains basically the same melody as the verse of this song. But I'm not saying that John Cafferty heard that demo. I'm sure he probably didn't. What happened is he tried to write a Bruce Springsteen song, and he actually fucking did. Because there actually was a Springsteen song with the same melody, which I always... When I heard that Springsteen demo, and it really has a very, very similar melody, it blew my mind because I was thinking, you know, John Cafferty set out to write a Springsteen song, and little did he know he actually did. And so I don't know if it's embarrassing to like the song On the Dark Side, but I like it. So there you go.
I don't dislike the song. But I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan either. But if anybody's a Bruce Springsteen fan and they don't like this song, they're kind of hypocritical because it sounds just like Bruce Springsteen. So,
right.
I'm embarrassed about liking that movie.
Yeah. All right. So what do you have next?
Okay. Now, this is in no particular. This list is in no particular order, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. The song I'm going to pick now is by a band. It was a boy band in the probably in the 90s or early 2000s called LFO. Do you know that band?
Yeah. What were they the band with like that Abercrombie and Fitch song? Was that them?
Summer Girls.
Oh, okay.
And Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
Makes me sick. I love that too. Well, I don't love it, but it's a good tune. If this song ever comes on the radio, I will not turn it off. As a matter of fact, I'll sing along to it.
Ouch. I have to play that song on my show now.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I take her if I had one wish. Well, she's been gone since that summer.
Hey, well.
What does LFO stand for? That's like probably like the three guys' names or something, right?
Live for ourselves.
Oh.
Get am I to know that? Because I had a daughter who was about 6 years old or 7 years old when this song was on Radio Disney, and she loved it. And as a matter of fact, I think we went to see LFO. We called him LFO.
Wow. Yeah, that is a perfect pick for a No Shame episode.
Boy bands who wrote their own songs and played instruments.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. At least they had that going for them.
All right. Top that one, BJ.
Yeah, I don't think I can top that. Well, yeah, the next song on my list is another one that I don't know if it's embarrassing or not, but I wonder if you can guess if I just... It was written by Holly Knight and Nick Gilder, and it was a top 10 hit in 1984. Do you know what song it is?
Nick Gilder...
It's not a Nick Gilder song. He didn't record the song. It's, you know, recorded by somebody else.
Then it's probably a Lita Ford tune, maybe?
No, did she do a Nick Gilder? I don't know. This is The Warrior... Patty Smythe, is that how you pronounce? Is it pronounced Patty Smythe?
We produced by Mike Chapman.
Right, right, yeah, exactly. What? Yeah, so I mean, The Warrior is a cheesy song, but I think it's a great song. A lot of people don't like 80s production. I don't mind.
All right, is it my turn?
Yeah, go for it.
This is a song by a band called the All American Rejects. You know that band?
Yeah.
Actually, I like this song, and I'm proud to say I like this song. It's catchy as hell, and it's rocking. It's got loud. It's got good guitars. And I have to say the singer for All American Rejects / bass player is actually a good bass player. And I saw this band live, and I was quite entertained by this band, even though the guy's cocky as hell, but that's kind of what you want in a lead singer. And it's a real band. So, this song is called Dirty Little Secret from the All American Rejects.
That song, I know that song. I love a song by them. It was their first single, Swing Swing. You know that one?
Yeah.
I love that song, but I never really went too much further into them besides that one song. My next song was a number one hit for Stevie Wonder in 1985, and the song features Luther Vandross humming at the end of the verses. I just think it has a really great melody, a song called Part-Time Lover.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a great tune in my opinion. That was like, I'm not I have nothing against Stevie Wonder. The guy's like an icon, and most people probably think he's a genius. And I have no, yeah, but that song's a little weak for my taste.
Yeah, I can, you know, I see where you're coming from. I'm sure most people don't think it's some of Stevie Wonder's, you know, better work, but and I mean, the guy, he is a genius. I mean, he plays every instrument on those old records, you know, and I mean he was a genius. Even if you don't like his music that much, you have to, I mean, come on, you know, he was absolutely brilliant. But in the 80s, you know, I Just Called to Say I Love You and stuff, he kind of became a parody of himself, maybe. But
so I Just Called to Say I Love You is a parody, but Part-Time Lover's not.
Well, I just think it has a killer melody, you know? I think it has a great melody, so.
Tom, love, all right. Well, it's no LFO Summer Girls, I'll say that. We got undercover fashion on the rise.
All right, so what do you have next?
Okay, the song I'm going to pick now was written by Jim Steinman. It's not a Meatloaf song, but I love this tune, and a lot of people love this tune, and it's kind of not even really a guilty pleasure to me. As a matter of fact, one of the bands I play in called Featherwitch covers this tune. It is called Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, great song.
There you go, see?
Yeah. And I immediately think of, was it Old School with the Dan Band?
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified. I see the fucking look in your eyes.
Turn around.
All right, my next song, I don't know if this is embarrassing or not. It was written by Keith Forsey, who had won an Oscar for the Flashdance song, and he also produced the first four Billy Idol records, and this song was actually intended to be performed by Billy Idol, but Billy Idol said no, I guess. He turned it down, so it ended up being a number one hit for a Scottish band called Simple Minds. Don't You Forget About Me, which I think is a brilliant song, in my opinion. I really, really love it. So, and of course, the whole tie-in with the Breakfast Club movie as well. But I don't know, how do you feel about Don't You Forget About Me?
I remember hearing this a million times on the radio. When this was on the radio all the time, I was in a punk rock band.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it much was everything I was against as a punk rock kid. But it's no denying it's a catchy melody. This song is probably keeping that singer for Simple Minds playing state fairs for the rest of his life. So he's staying employed because of this song.
Yeah, and they actually started out as pretty much a punk band. Their first couple records, pretty much, or post-punk at least. But
yeah.
That song would have been perfect for Billy Idol. But he, you know, he was writing such great material for himself. Why, you know, why do somebody else's song, I guess?
Yeah, I couldn't picture. I mean, I could see Billy Idol singing this song, but I think it might kind of hurt Billy Idol's credibility if he played this tune.
That was probably the same thing he was thinking at the time. I don't know if that would have been, I guess it would have been like after Rebel Yell. So it would have been kind of between Rebel Yell and what Whiplash Smile, which is not Whiplash Smile is not a very good record in my opinion. So.
Well, you call my name.
All right, so what do you have next?
All right, I am going to pick a song that is one of my favorite artists who I proudly wave the Rick Springfield flag, proudly. Yeah. And this song, as a matter of fact, one of the bands I was in, I used to be in American Heartbreak, covered this song, which was never released. It's called Human Touch.
Awesome song. Yeah, that's from what the... That's not from the movie soundtrack, right? That's from...
I think it's from
Living in Oz. Is that what it's from?
It's either from Living in Oz or Success Hasn't Spoiled Me Yet. I don't remember. It's probably Living in Oz. I saw him on this tour. A little bit too many keyboards in this song, but he did that because it was, the song was called Human Touch, so he wanted to have a lot of keyboards in it. And the song was, everybody's talking to computers, so he had like hardly any guitars in it. But listen to the song, put loud guitars, put a Marshall stack, and play this song, and it's a great hard rock tune.
Yeah, that is a great song. Did you ever have him on your show?
Oh, no. I would love to have Rick Springfield. I went to see B.B. Buell play in Los Angeles because I kind of became personable with B.B. Buell through my wife and other people. So we went to see B.B. Buell play in at the Whiskey in Los Angeles, and he was there. And I was so starstruck, man.
Yeah.
Never had him on my show. I've tried to get him on the show, but you never hear any response from me. But I went, yeah, I love Rick Springfield. I'm a huge, if anybody has a chance to see Rick Springfield live, it'll be a fun time, I promise you.
Yeah, I saw him, like at a county fair in probably the late 90s or something. I think that's the only time I ever saw him.
I saw him at a county fair too, and he was fantastic. I was so surprised how good he was. And the guy's a good guitar player, and he writes catchy as hell tunes. Even listen to the last Rick Springfield album. He's still making quality music, just unnoticed.
Yeah, what happens with a guy like that is he gets completely pigeonholed by one song. And just and in that era of MTV and everything where, an artist just, Jesse's Girl and that's it. That's all anybody thinks of, the average person. And nobody realizes there was so much more to what he did than just that. But everybody's talking to computers, they all dancing to a drum machine. I know I'm living on the outside, scared of getting caught between. I'm so cool and calculated and low in the modern world. But Sally had a hard time holding back the alley to the heart. Track. She's got the love monkey riding on her back. All right, the next song on my list, this is another one that I personally think is absolutely brilliant. It was the first single from their second album, Nervous Night, but no one had heard the first album, so it might as well have been their first album. Band from Philadelphia called The Hooters, a song called And We Danced.
Oh, boy.
I love it. And so I was doing some research, and so the first Hooters restaurant didn't open until 1983, and the Hooters, the band, was formed in 1980, and supposedly they took their name from a nickname for the melodica, like a keyboard harmonica or something.
That's what they say. That's a politically correct thing to say.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, so they predated the restaurant, and I was trying to figure out if the term Hooters being linked to, you know, breasts came before right. the restaurant or after. Or if no, it was a ubiquitous term, when, I mean, did they know, because when you say Hooters, everyone now immediately thinks of one thing, so why would you name your band that? You know, I don't know when the term Hooters came into common usage, and how it associates to the band or the restaurant, so I don't think it was a wise choice for a band name, but at the time, it probably didn't seem as ridiculous. That's just, I don't know, but... I like a lot of Hooters songs quite a bit, and I think And We Danced is really great. So there you go.
The end is beat, she's walking my way. Hear the music thin when she says, are we getting too close? Do we dare to get closer? The room is spinning as she whispers my name.
I have to say that I think my guilty pleasures list, or whatever it's called, has a little bit more credibility than yours. I hate to, if you think that BJ's songs are more credible than Michael Butler's, send BJ an email to what's the email address, BJ?
rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com.
With the subject line, Butler, you're absolutely right. BJ's songs are awful. Subject line, if you agree with me. And if you disagree, put in the subject line, Butler is an asshole. BJ, you have the most credibility. Your songs are way better than Michael Butler's. Put that in the subject line. All right.
All right. Well, what's your next more credible song?
Here, okay. this is in no list, but I'm going to save the best for last. This is another boy band, Blink 182. I could have picked just about any Blink 182 song as a guilty pleasure because I like a lot of Blink 182 tunes, believe it or not. But the one I'm picking just randomly out of the hat is called First Date.
You know, like I was saying, man, so I walk in there, my brother's around, and I end up kissing my own brother.
That's far out, man.
That's what I'll say. It's fucked up.
You know what they say, man, like father, like son.
You said it best, brother.
I don't know that song unless I would have, maybe I would recognize it when I heard it.
Song and I just can't wait. I pick her up for the very first day. Let's go. I don't know how to, I don't know the words, but it's catchy.
I have to say, I absolutely despise the way that guy sings, which means I could never listen to them.
Whitmer Thomas!
So we know each other a little bit from LA.
Oh, yeah.
And then you were running this bit by me. And I was like, that's your closer. And you're like, I've been opening with it, and nothing can follow it. I'm like, that's called a closer. You have to end on that one. And it's Blink 182. I can't. Just looking at your face makes me think about it. I'm sorry to make you do it, but you have to.
Okay, sure.
It's the singer from Blink 182. There's two singers.
They got two singers. Everybody knows.
Can you turn his mic up a little bit? Because this is so fucking funny.
Yeah, they got the two singers. Please. They're silly idiots. That's what they're known for. Silly goose. It's great. But like... You know, they're getting older, and a few years ago they decided to like kind of take a more adult approach at music, and they came out with that song called "Miss You." Remember, it goes, "I miss you, I miss you." And they got two singers. The first guy, he does an okay job at being a grown up. He's got dark lyrics. He's like, "Hello there, angel from my nightmare, shadow in the background of the morgue." And that guy's great. He's all right, you know. It's not too great.
Isn't
it's
he playing whatever. Upright bass?
Yeah, he's playing upright bass. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And he goes, "Miss you, I miss you." And then the second guy comes in, you know, the grown man. So he's like, "I miss you, I miss you. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight.
Tonight.
I need somebody, an alias. Six strange darkness comes creeping on to haunting every time. There's spiders. There's spiders.
Where are you?
Yeah. Just spiders are everywhere.
How old were you?
A retirement account.
Yeah.
How old were you when that song was like a big part of your life?
Oh, 16. I remember the day I first heard it. There's this girl named Kristen Burkett. She was a senior in high school, and she asked me to go to the winter formal. And I was so afraid and embarrassed, and like I didn't know what to do. And she won. She was like winter queen or whatever. And I was supposed to go ask her to dance, but I was too afraid. Even though I was at the dance with her, I was too afraid to go ask her to dance. So what happened is that she looked at me and she's like, "Come on." And as I took a step, a boy with Down syndrome went and asked her to dance. And
I just break into that.
Yeah, I just watched them dance. No way was I going to be like, no. And then I went home, and she dropped me off. And I remember her sitting there and in the driveway, and she's like, "So, do you want to hang out in my car for a bit?" And I was like, "I got school tomorrow. I got to go to sleep." And I went home, turned on MTV, and "Miss You" was on. Yeah.
And you missed her from 5 minutes early.
Yeah, I missed that, Chris. I missed her hard, man.
You should have gone in the car. Do it.
I should have gone with you. Why are we here? The summertime is over.
What was your favorite thing to say as that guy? You had one. Spoiders.
Spoiders, man.
Not spiders, but you had a phrase that you were like, Shut up. It was something else.
I don't know. It's anything, man. My favorite thing to go is like, you were my silly girl. You wore overalls, and my mom didn't want you with me. Hey, Ashley.
They had good songs, in my opinion. And Martina was a fan, so I sang along.
Right. All right, that's far more credible than the Hooters, I will. bands with numbers in the name. I mean, fuck off with that.
I agree.
Yeah. I know whatever Blink-182 songs I've heard when I walked past the radio, and that's about it. So, all right, my next song, this is a band that a lot of people love, but I pretty much hate, which is why I guess I'm kind of embarrassed to admit to liking one of their songs. Well, actually, I kind of like the song Love Her Madly because I think it's funny the way he says, "Don't you love her ass? She's walking out the door," which I always... A lot of people I talk to don't think that Jim Morrison actually intended there to be the double meaning of that. I think it's the most clever thing the guy ever did, and I probably came up with it, not him, so I guess that's saying something. But I always thought there was a play on words where he was saying, "Don't you love her ass, comma, she's walking out the door."
Don't you love her face? Don't you love her ass? She's walking out the door.
Can't stand the Doors.
Yeah, I hate the Doors as well, and I think Jim Morrison was a complete hack and probably one of the most overrated people ever in history.
I agree. Totally. He was a hack.
Yeah, but there's a song by the Doors called Peace Frog that I like, and the lyrics are actually pretty cool until Jim Morrison starts reading his fucking poetry right in the middle of the song for no reason. And then, so he shows his true color, even though it's a good song. You get some of the absolute Jim Morrison hackery right in the middle of the song. He was just, I mean, he was full of shit, really, as far as I'm concerned. But
he was a genius and a poet. The guy sucked.
Yeah, he was far from a genius or a poet. He was full of shit. And you know, I don't like the Doors at all. Definitely one of the most overrated bands ever, as far as I'm concerned. But, so that's why, for me to say I like a Doors song, I guess I fit the No Shame concept, but I kind of like Peace Frog from Morrison Hotel, so...
Mysterious human.
right. Well, there you go. So when you do this show, every time you do a show, you have to come up with 10 more Guilty Pleasure songs?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think I'll run out. I mean, I'm kind of... I also wanted to pick songs that I thought you would know more than... You know what I mean?
I have a song that you probably don't know.
All right.
It is called... It's a country artist named Chris Jansen. Do you know who that is?
No.
The song is called Buy Me a Boat. Here's the chorus. It goes, money, wait, so I know what they say. Money can't buy everything, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti 110 ice down with some silver bullets. Yeah, I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so. Go ahead. Next line.
But it can buy me a boat.
They call me redneck, white trash, and blue collar.
And I said boat with my Wisconsin accent, so I'm sure
it is a stupid as hell song, but is extremely catchy. You're singing along to it before the song's over, and that is a catchy tune, in my opinion.
And it's only a country song because he puts a little bit of twang in his voice, and there's like some slide guitar going on, and that's what makes it country, probably.
Oh, and the lyrics are all typical country lyrics, you know, boat, silver bullet beer. A Yeti 110 is a very expensive cooler, which I happen to own a Yeti. I own a Yeti 50, I think, not a 110. A 110 is probably about an $800 cooler.
Yeah, just recently I went on this long rant to my wife, probably annoying the hell out of her, about how all these country songs are about how they're just regular guys. Like the whole concept of the song is, we're just regular guys, we do regular guy things, we have a boat and a cooler, and so I got in this rant, and then we were watching the new With Bob and David shows that just came out on Netflix. It's like basically the new Mr. Show episodes with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, and they do a country song in there where they're making fun of exactly that. They're standing at a giant mansion, but all the lyrics are about how they're just regular guys with all their regular guy stuff, even though they're at this giant mansion. And then the song just turns into a grocery list, and they just show like the woman who's listening to the song just starts writing all of it down and going shopping for them. And it's really hilarious sketch. And it's basically based on the exact concept I had just been complaining to my wife about. So when we were watching it, she just turns to me. She's like, they're talking about exactly what you were just talking about.
Hey, country, where do you think you're going?
I'm just going to get some provisions. The boys are coming over.
Hold your horses, son. I got a better way. Well, you can keep your fancy cheese and wine. I don't need nothing special for my good time. I ain't high class, just a simple country breed. Me and the boys, we like keeping it real, cracking us a cold brew and kicking up our heels. It's a simple life, just a few little things I need. In a case of Miller, Bud will do, a rack of ribs and a pack of chew, cold fuzz and barbecue, this here's all I need.
I hope you're getting this down.
I said a case of Miller, Bud will do, a rack of ribs and a pack of chew. But nothing too fancy, that's everything I need.
But since you're already passing by the pharmacy, why don't you grab me some Prilosec and vitamin C? Shampoo, conditioner, some 30 sunscreen. My girl needs tampons and antihistamine. Calamata olives and chamomile tea. Some artisanal cronuts and be sure they're gluten-free.
Are you grind it down? I need it all yesterday, so stop farting around. Go to Whole Foods, don't want to Costco shit. And lose a stupid child's seat, it's all gotta fit. And best not forget some fancy cheese and wine.
it's gotta be the finest for my good time.
And yeah, so it sounds like Buy Me a Boat is definitely one of those songs about how he's just a regular dude with his cooler and whatever, right?
Yes, when you, well, he wants money. He wants to get rich. He's hoping he hits the lottery. But money, but everybody says money can't buy happiness. Yeah, but it can buy me a boat.
Oh, okay. So it's a life philosophy.
Yes, which is a play on David Lee Roth in interviews used to say, you know, they say money can't buy happiness, but you can park your yacht right next to it. That was-
right.
So it's a ripoff of that. But I defy you, once you're putting this show together, you're going to be singing that song.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to hate it, but we'll see.
Earworm, I guess that's the term.
All right. My next song, once again, I'm not sure how embarrassing it is or not, because I can't really gauge it, but it was a top 10 hit in 1982, and I think it was this guy's biggest hit, Jackson Browne. It was written specifically for Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I think it's a great song called Somebody's Baby.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But just to look at that girl with the lights coming up in her eyes. She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. All the guys on the corner stand back and let her walk on by. She's got to be somebody's.
I'm not a big Jackson Browne fan, so this would be my favorite Jackson Browne song. But
he supposedly wrote all these. Well, he did write all these love songs, but wasn't there a rumor that he got arrested for spousal abuse?
Yeah. Well, I think Daryl Hannah was the person that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always remember I was at a record store in Chicago, like in the 90s, and there was this guy there talking to the guy behind the counter, and he was telling the guy that. I think the guy at the record store was playing Jackson Browne, you know, like in the store. And the guy told him that him and his girlfriend went to a Jackson Browne concert, and his girlfriend went backstage and never came back.
Nice.
And the guy went home alone, so.
Bummer.
So, so Jackson Browne's singing about somebody's baby. Well, that night it was that guy was the somebody, I guess.
Oh. He's done it more than once, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're down to the final two, right?
Yeah, two more.
All right. Well, I'm going to do I saved my two favorite guilty pleasures of all time probably for last. I'm going to go with the second favorite now. This is Katy Perry, believe it or not.
I believe
Teenage
it.
Dream.
Teenage Dream?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
I like the tune. I'm sorry. No, I don't like. I used to really think Katy Perry was super smoking hot. I used to think I really, you know, because she was on Andrew W. or no, because she got up on stage and played with Andrew W.K. Number One, and she was also Nardwuar interviewed her, and she seemed to be really cool at the time. Now I heard you're not even allowed to go within 5 feet of her or look her way or anything. But I think this is a catchy tune, Teenage Dream.
There are a couple of Katy Perry songs that I guess I could maybe stand listening to, but I don't think Teenage Dream has much of a melody. It's just Teenage Dream. I mean, that's not very melodic to me.
Come on, it's catchy as hell. I was doing a a show on the punkrockradio.com or whatever, punk radio. I forget the guy Jason. He had his own podcast or not. He had his own internet radio station, and he wanted me to do the Rock and Roll Geek Show as Punk Radio. I think it was called Punk Radio Cast. So I did an episode, my friend Jasper and I, and we played Teenage Dream, and all the punk rock people in the chat room were cussing us out. We got into a huge fight online with all the punk rock people who were calling us assholes for playing Katy Perry and stuff like that. And 5 minutes after we finished that episode, we got fired from Punk Radio Cast. <It was great. laughs>
All right, my next one is very different from Katy Perry. It's a song called Danny's Song by Loggins and Messina. Do you know this one? And even though we ain't got money,
oh, in love with you, honey.
Yeah.
Everything will break a chain. Love. Yeah, I know the song. Catch you.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one. And we've just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like she and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. Sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. And everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright.
I look next to my girl. Oh, I'm just crying tears of joy. Pussy!
Well, Danny is Kenny Loggins' brother, and apparently he wrote it as a gift to his brother after the birth of what would have been Kenny Loggins' nephew.
Oh, it's about a baby. Okay, that makes sense. I can't apologize. I thought it was a love song to a woman, so is what I know.
And, I mean, it's, you know, corny as hell. And I guess it was a big hit for Anne Murray then afterwards, which...
There you go.
I'm not sure if I've heard the Anne Murray version or not, but it probably sucks. But
at the melody, it can't suck. It's a catchy tune.
Yeah.
Bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be all right. Pisces, Virgo, rising is a very good sign. Strong and kind. And the little boy is mine. Now I see a family where there once was none. Now it just begun. Yeah, we're gonna fly to the sun. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with honey. Everything will bring a chain of love.
All right, well, my favorite number one guilt. What's the show called again? What is it?
No Shame.
My favorite number one song that I'm not ashamed of. Well, I kind of am ashamed a little bit, but.
Well, yeah, that's the idea. You're kind of torn about whether you're ashamed or not. That's kind of what we're going for there. Yeah.
It's a country song. My favorite guilty pleasure song is a country song, and it's by a guy named Dierks Bentley. Do you know who that is?
I've heard the name.
I'm getting drunk on a plane. I bet the bill.
The song is about he bought tickets for it. He was getting married. So he had a honeymoon booked. Real expensive honeymoon down in, I don't know, Cabo or somewhere down there, Rio. she left him at the wedding. She left him at the altar. So he's going on the honeymoon by himself, and he's on the train writing a letter to his girlfriend, and it's called Drunk on a Plane. Ever heard that song?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a great tune, man. I'm getting drunk on a plane. It's a great tune. Great tune.
Oh, man.
I would love to cover this song, Rocked Out.
Does he do the country twang thing with his voice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to handle that.
Getting drunk on a plane.
It's catchy as hell. Look at the music video. You'll like it even more.
There's no way I'm going to like this song.
Brings a the cag onto the plane. I might be passed out in the baggage claim. I'm going to have a fine vacation. She thought me up in Timberford. Great
so
tune.
So do you like it more for the lyrics? Or
call her up and tell her kiss my ass. I'm getting drunk on a plane.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Back to party 740. It's a great tune, man. It's catchy as hell. So I love it. Getting drunk on a plane, Dierks Bentley.
All right. Well,
send an email to BJ Cramp if you agree with me.
All right. Well, my last song, I saved this one for last, too. It's very, very different from Dierks Bentley. It's one of the top 25 best-selling singles of all time with 11 million sold. And the story of this song is hilarious. It was originally meant to be the B-side of the single, and they had a studio session to record the A-side, which was called I Want to Give You My Everything, and then they needed a song for the other side of the 45. So the producer asked Carl Douglas if he had any lyrics they could use, and they like went through a notebook. They found these lyrics. They set them to music right there in the studio, and they had 10 minutes of studio time left. And did the song in two takes after they had just written it right there. And it ended up being one of the top 25 best-selling singles of all time called Kung Fu Fighting.
Oh, gosh. Why did I think it was the Bee Gees?
Yeah. That's hilarious. It's hilarious that they went through Carl Douglas's notebook and he had the Kung Fu Fighting lyrics written in there.
Well, that was the time when Kung Fu movies were big in the 70s.
Yeah, on Wikipedia they call them Chop Saki movies.
There you go, nice.
I don't know if I'd ever heard the term Chop Saki before, but it was basically just supposed to be a throwaway B-side just because they needed to put something else on the record. And the label ended up flipping it to the A side, and it became a huge hit, I guess, in the dance clubs. And it was the number one song of all of 1974 in both the U.S. and the U.K.
It's one of the big hits of all time.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's one of the top 25 best-selling singles of all time, and it was the biggest song of the entire year in both the U.S. and the U.K. So, well, and they also, I mean, basically, it kind of was the beginning of disco, I guess, as well.
Yeah, it was in the heart of the disco time,
it was 74, so.
I purposely did not put any disco songs in my list, because I don't know any good disco songs, to be honest with you. Well, I can't say that. I mean, I Was Made for Loving You. It probably should have been on my list.
Yeah, I also have a hard time with disco. I like Staying Alive, but yeah, I don't like very much disco either. But Kung Fu Fighting, I think, has a great melody, and it's also funny as hell. And
yeah, you notice that's a total racist.
And they say they put all of like the karate noises, like and you know, chopping sounds and stuff. They just filled it with that because they just thought it was like a novelty song on the B-side. So do you like Kung Fu Fighting or
not particularly? No.
Yeah.
But it's catchy. I mean, I can see how people can like it. It's a catchy tune.
Yeah. And then I think he had a follow-up single. It was called like Dance the Kung Fu or something.
There you go.
Kind of like Let's Twist Again. Oh.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them.
Well, there you go. I hope you liked my top 10. How did it compare to other people's?
Yeah, it was great. You definitely got the concept.
There you go. I still think my list is better than yours, but it's okay. It's for your audience to decide.
Yeah, I completely disagree there.
I'm getting drunk on
I like Total Eclipse of the Heart. I'm trying to remember which of yours I even like.
I'm getting drunk on boats. You can buy me
one. Well, thanks a lot for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me, BJ. I really appreciate it. Congratulations again on your 100th episode.
Yeah, you thanks. I don't even know what number this one will be, but it's going to be. I got a lot of shit in the can right now, so it might be a while before I put this one up, but.
I look forward to hearing it in 6 months.
Yeah, it'll be less than 6 months, but it'll probably be a month or two.
All right. Well, thank you again, BJ. Have a good weekend if I don't talk to you before then.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, that's going to do it for our fourth installment of No Shame, and I want to thank Michael Butler very much
for joining me. Check out his show, The Rock and Roll Geek Show, and that song that we just heard there. That was Michael's band, American Heartbreak, a great song from their album, Postcards from Hell, a song called Drinks. American Heartbreak, they were a great band, and being a fan of that band is what led me to discover Michael's podcast all those years ago. So thanks again, Michael, for joining me. I have to admit, those two country songs that Michael picked, Buy Me a Boat and Drunk on a Plane, pretty much my most hated kind of song ever to have existed. So kudos to Michael for coming on here and admitting to liking such garbage. But yeah, thanks again, Michael. And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to leave you with, hey, I mentioned it earlier, Carl Douglas's follow-up to Kung Fu Fighting, sort of the sequel, I guess, to Kung Fu Fighting. We got to hear it, right? It's a song by Carl Douglas called Dance the Kung Fu. Until next time.
Be back.